It was yesterday before Championship Man started to come around. His wife knew he was beginning to thaw out when around midday, he spoke his most complete sentence since just before half-time Sunday. "Do you know what?" he said to her, the trace of that aching emptiness still in his voice. "I might just tip on up to the Tyrone press night this evening, take my mind off things." None of his usual National League travelling companions could commit to the expedition, but this deterred him none, because Championship Man has long been familiar with the loneliness of the Fear Gael, and so he set out with only his thoughts for company, and these provided stimulation aplenty. For every one of the 222 miles to Carrickmoor, he replayed Sunday over and over again. Ah, Sunday, Mulrone, Mulrone. When it was all over, they sat there for hours, Championship Man and his family, staring out onto the field until eventually a Croke Park steward asked them politely to leave, because they were about to lock up. A few Kilkenny stragglers on Russell Terrace mumbled something about being sorry for his troubles.
"Sure, you never go out the blocks at all. Ah, look at you. You'll be back.
Even the Chape Jack, to whom he had entrusted his car on Dorset Street, was overcome by unwanted sympathy for a broken man. And with the quiet dignity he had struggled to find in a Buddhist temple high in the Himalayas, handed him back his fiver, saying only,
"It's been a tough all day, Championship Man. Get the kids something on the way back."
Monday morning, he felt sicker than Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac put together, though he hadn't touched a drop. The school where he works as a part-time caretaker reopened on Tuesday, and even the Kilkenny children behaved with appropriate dignity and restraint in the shadow of Championship Man's grief, bar one insensitive black and amber soul who asked him if he thought the five in a row was on. "It might be," replied Championship Man, his resigned air robbing the engagement of its potential for a flashpoint. "It might just be." He found yesterday's journey a welcome distraction, though. Passing through desperate towns such as Thomastown, Cullaville and Imivale, Championship Man realised he had been to matches in all of them, and for the first time since Sunday, looked forward to the next phase in the never-ending GAA season, the closing stages of the county and provincial championships, and the three or four school games a week on hopelessly waterlogged pitches. The old familiar stirring took place. "There'll be a dawn again," he said to himself. "We'll walk tall yet." After Auchnacloy, he got to thinking seriously about what they could learn from Tyrone, and managed his first smile since the Big Bang when he thought of Milan with the Smiggin. There were thousands when he got to Carrickmore, and the chairman of the local club came straight over as he pulled into the car park. "You're a wild, hard boy, Championship Man, to be here this night after all you've been through," he said, stretching out a consoling hand. They fixed him a cup of tea upstairs in the clubhouse. He got a few autographs, shook Mickey Hart's hand.
"You know, we can nearly do with you down below, Mickey."
And saw the old Nally stand in its new home. On the way back down, retracing the 222 miles, tuning into local radio stations as he went along, Championship Man heard something about breakfast roll man feeling a bad way too. And suddenly, he no longer felt like the only endangered species in the land. "We'll see a bright dawn yet," he said. "We'll see a bright dawn yet."